Blog Talk Radio.
What up? October 8th, 2019, 7 o'clock East Coast. This is the Ant Canary Experience. I'm your host, Ant Canary, coming to you live from southeastern North Kakalaki. Welcome to tonight's show. Tonight we're going to be talking about crime again. I think this is the last show when we talk about crime, but it's important that we talk about it. This is the third annual show on crime. If you're not familiar with this, I'll give you a little bit of background. I started doing this 3 years ago because I forgot exactly what show I was doing. I think it was about crime. I forgot exactly what we were talking about. But that was when I used to have the chat room going on at the same time. I haven't done that in a while. But somebody made a comment about black-on-black crime. And every time we talk about crime, somebody's got to jump in with black-on-black crime. Black-on-black crime is pretty simple. Black-on-black crime is like white-on-white crime. It's like Hispanic on Hispanic crime. There is no difference. The thing is, people that usually holler black on black crime are pretty much racist douchebags. And the reason why I say that, because they never bring up the fact that white people kill white people just like black people kill black people. And they also forget that they also fail to say that white people kill black people. White people kill white people. White people kill Native American people. White people kill Hispanics. White people kill everybody. Everybody kills everybody. But they always want to throw black-on-black crime. They always want to throw up Chicago crime. They always want to throw up this other stuff. But they always forget to mention white-on-white crime. And we have an orange puss bag in the White House that wants to build an imaginary wall between us and Mexico because he thinks, well, he don't think, he doesn't think, he doesn't have a brain to think, but he claims that a wall will keep out Mexicans and keep out the crime and the drugs and all this bullshit, and that's exactly what it is, bullshit. When I get these stats, In just a few minutes. And what I'm going to do, if you're not familiar with what I do is, matter of fact, if you want to check on what I'm talking about, just go to FBI, www.fbi.gov. I get these stats from Table 43. These are stats from 2018, so it's the year before. All of these are stats from 2018, and what I do is, when it gets to that point of the show, I'll tell you, I will go down the list, and I will read you every crime that was committed in the United States, and I will give you percentages. I will give you numbers. I will give you percentages between white people that committed crimes and black people that committed crimes. And I do that for the simple fact that there are people in this country. Oh, and there's another argument they like to use. They always say that black people are 13% of the population but commit 50% of the crime. That is bullshit. If that was the case, every black person in America would probably be in jail. So I wouldn't be doing this show sitting in a bedroom behind a laptop. I'd be in jail somewhere. You know, these people use the same cockamamie bullshit to spread lies, and if you don't know how to research, come back with the facts, then you're just going to keep believing the same crap over and over again. So I read you, I give you the total numbers and everything. And from what I've done on this list, there are about maybe three categories where black people lead, and the rest of them are white. So, you know, I don't know why we're wasting money and time building the wall. I guess what they're going to do is Wallace in to keep us in with the crazy white folk that are doing all the crime. You know, it's always the same stupid argument. So if you want to check this out, this is Table 43. I always go to this website and get the information. I've been doing it for the past 3 years, and some people have been wondering when I was going to do it. I had to wait for the table to come out before I could do it. But yeah, if I'm still doing this next year, I'm still going to do the same thing. And the year after that, and the year after that, just to prove a point that everybody black in this country is not out here committing crime. Hispanics are not out here killing and raping and all this other, you know, bullshit that you know, certain people like to get other people to believe is not even the case. And these are facts, and these are coming from the FBI. These are coming from the government. So like I said, it takes me time to go through everything, but I'm going to do it because I think it's worth the effort to go through it to prove the point. Because there are just people out there that are just either too lazy or too dumb to go out here and do the research. So I will do the research for you. So that's no big deal. But before I get into that, I have got to say something, and I've got one clip to play, and I've got to talk about what happened last week, and then I've got to talk about what happened today. About the I did a show last week on Botham John. I'm sorry. And what happened in that courtroom, I have never seen anything like that in my life. Now, I don't go to courtrooms every day. The only time I go to court is when I do something stupid and then I got to go traffic ticket, you know, mostly traffic tickets, if I do go. Usually I just get a lawyer, get that crap over with, so I just don't got the time for it. But a lot of people, there are people that go to court all the time, so I'm sure they, you know, they probably tell you. I have never, the few times I was in court, I have never seen a bailiff play with somebody's hair. I have never seen a judge hug a convicted murderer. I have never seen a judge give a convicted murderer a Bible. I've never seen that. And the only reason why I think those things happen is because it's possible that Geiger might have had some cases in front of this judge. It's also possible that the bailiff, they might have known each other. And it's also possible that you have to understand that the people that work at the courthouse, usually they know each other. The cops know the judges know the lawyers, and they pretty much know each other because they have to work with each other like all the time. So it's possible that they knew each other. But I've never seen that before. And, you know, people have been talking about this all weekend. I've never seen, so and my thing is, how many other people has this judge hugged? Was she the only one that got a hug? She killed a man in his own apartment for nothing. And she got a hug, and she got a Bible, and all that kind of stuff. I've never seen this before. Only, but just see, and there's another thing, too, I thought about, that if this judge gets reelected for office, I'm thinking that this was a calculated move in order for her to secure votes the next time she's up for reelection, because it shows the people that are behind the cops, no matter what they do, that she is for them, I guess, a supporter, whatever you want to call it. Maybe that happened too. I don't know. Maybe she felt sorry for her. I don't know. And then the brother forgives her and gives her a hug. Now, first thing I thought about, now what if the roles were changed? What if a black guy killed a blonde haired, blue eyed chick? Would all that hugging would have been going on in the courtroom? Would he have been getting his hair played with by the bailiff? Would the judge have given him a hug and gave him a Bible? think not. And black folk, I got to tell you, my own personal me, if this cop would have killed somebody in my family, a friend or whatever, I would not have been given hugs. I would not have been forgiven. You know, no, I wouldn't have been doing all that. And the thing I got with black folk, we are always forgiving the people that do us the most harm. When Dylann Roof killed those 9 people in that church, those families, I don't know all of them forgave him, but a lot of those families forgave this clown. This clown was a neo-Nazi. He was a neo-Confederate. He didn't like black people, and his intention was killing black people. Now, why in the hell are they forgiving him? We are always forgiving people. I am waiting for the people that committed. This is a long list. I am waiting for the people that have committed slavery. They raped our people. They killed them. They lynched them. They castrated them. They killed Native Americans. They had a war about slavery. You had Jim Crow. You had the black codes. You had segregation. You had redlining. You had the back of the bus. You had violence in the streets. You had drugs being introduced into the community, crack. You had all kinds of stuff done to us pretty much for the last 400 years, and I have yet to hear anybody say on behalf of those people that did all this stuff, we're sorry. If that came out, I didn't hear it. I have yet to hear somebody apologize for all of that. But black people are just so fast and forgiving people that do wrong, and she knows she was wrong. The police department knew she was wrong. They try to cover it up. She gets 10 lousy years. A man shoots a police dog and gets 45. But it's just like I said, the system was not created to protect a lot of us. You got money, you got privilege, you can get you a good lawyer, and you can get off almost anything. But not all of us can afford to do that. She got 10 years, and then you got so many people on the jury talking about they couldn't give her 28 or something. Really? All she had to do was just tip the fuck out of his house. She could have made a 360 and went right back out the door. I'm sorry, my bad. I thought this was my apartment. How hard is that? Sorry about that. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I wasn't thinking straight. I was on the phone texting, you know, to get broke off. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do this. I apologize. I'm on the wrong floor. I'm in the wrong place. I'm sorry. Turned around and just backed up. What she do? She claims she gives him command. Which what do you give him command for? The man is in his own house. You shoot him. You kill him. You don't even give him first aid. Even though you had first aid things in your bag, one of your bags. You can't give anybody one-handed CPR. You're on the phone. You keep saying, I fucked up. I fucked up. You worried about you. You're not worried about the man you shot. You get 10 years, but you'll probably get off in 5. Since you're a cop, once you do go to, if you go to actual prison, you'll be in segregation because a lot of places don't like to put cops in general population because of what could happen to you. So she'll get treated like she'll get a different treatment than everybody else, but she'll get probably 5. and then she'll probably get probation, and that'll be it. But Valtham Jean is not coming back. So I don't care how many times you hug the person that killed, you know, that killed him. I don't care how many times you sit there and forgive this woman. He ain't coming back. He's gone. For nothing. For eating ice cream in his own place, minding his own damn business. And you get 10 lousy years. I know him. I did a rally a few years ago. A man that's been in prison since 1970 for a rape that he didn't commit. There are people in jail right now on phony drug charges. Got longer than 10 years. This woman murdered somebody and got 10 years minus probably 5. You know, and she spent about a year in jail. Well, I think she spent a year in jail probably. So that's a year already off. So let's say if they gave her a year, let's say 4. So she'll probably spend 4 years in segregation, and then she'll get off. She'll get probation, and then she gets to go and live her life. And then we had the story about a young man that testified. He ends up getting killed. And a lot of people thinking that the Dallas Police Department had something to do with it. Well, today, the clip I'm going to play in a second was from yesterday. But today, on the way home, I hear on the radio that the Dallas Police came out and said that 3 guys are responsible for the murder of Joshua Brown from Louisiana. From what they said was that these men drove from Louisiana to Texas to get some drugs. Somehow or another, it went south. One of the guys got shot and went to the hospital. The other, one guy's in the hospital. The guy that got shot Brown twice. They took what he had on him at the time. The 2 guys dropped the guy that got shot off at the hospital, and then they took off. So they got the guy in the hospital, and they're looking for the other 2 guys now. So there are no drugs in Louisiana that these guys had to drive, from what I saw. Alexandria, Louisiana to Dallas is, 400 miles or something like that? 300 miles, something like that. So they drove all the way from there to Dallas to get drugs. It went sideways. They end up killing them. They're on the run. But before that, there was word that there was a $100,000 reward for any information. Now, why is it every time something like this happens, it's always drugs? The cops never do anything, even though he was scheduled. As a matter of fact, I read that he was scheduled to testify in a trial against the cops. But all of a sudden, he comes up dead. And someone told somebody that he might need to get some protection. And he didn't get it. He ended up dead on the street. So, you know, this story sounds funky. Sounds funky. And, you know, it just doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound right at all. And I wouldn't put it past the cops because, look, not all cops are crooked. But, look, a lot of cops are shady. And we've seen that. We've seen a case after case where cops are planting drugs, planting guns. I did a story on police departments around the country. You know, Baltimore cops were got in some mess because they were planting drugs and guns on people. The LAPD was doing some crooked shit. the NYPD was doing some crooked shit. So these cops, it's not above these cops to try to get away with some crooked stuff. But it's just coincidental that all of a sudden, you know, homeboy testifies and then they find him dead. And then they come out and say three people did it. They got one, the other two are missing, and they're all the way from Louisiana. They come all the way to Dallas. And here I was, Dallas, the Dallas Police Department was legit. I used to watch episodes of the first 48. They seemed legit to me. So I don't, you know, it's crazy. It is straight crazy. So, yesterday, when I was thinking about doing, you know, story for tonight, I was on the way to work. I went to work late. Had to work different hours yesterday, so I'm driving to work. I'm listening to the Tom Joyner Morning Show, and they had the lawyer as representing this young man. They had him on the radio, and they were talking to him about, you know, this is before today. This is before the stuff happened today, and they were talking about it. And then this comes down at about, what time, about 3, I think, something like that. So this whole thing is just shady, big time shady. So like I said, I'm going to play the clip. It's only 5 minutes. And then I'm going to do the stats. Like I said, I'm gonna read all the numbers and all that. So it's gonna take me a little while, which is cool. So this is probably one of those shows you just sit back and just listen. And I'm not gonna do they also have a table for arrests for people under 18. I'm not going to do all of those. I'm going to do a few of those. I'm not going to do all of them because there are a number of tables once you go to the website. Again, that's www.fbi.gov. And just go to crime and then look for table 43. And then just go through the numbers. I mean, this is numbers in black and white, but according to the orange puss bag in the White House, the FBI and the CIA and all those are not to be believed. So who do I believe? I'm just giving you what they got posted, and the numbers I read are the same numbers they got on the table. So I'm not adding, subtracting, multiplying. I'm doing nothing. I'm just reading you exactly what I got. So I guess, you know, who to believe. I guess I don't know. So let me play this clip for you. Like I said, this is yesterday morning. Talking to the lawyer and, you know, trying to get to the bottom of this. And it seems like, you know, there's more things added. You know, this is like, you know, straight out of a movie, seems like. So I'm going to play this. And then we're going to jump into the subject of tonight. So play this. I'll be back.
On the phone right now is the lead attorney representing the Botham John family is Lee Merrick. What's up, homie? How you doing?
Fred, how's it going, man?
Man. Okay. So the witness. What is that all
Joshua
about?
Brown was
Joshua
murdered
Brown, the
Friday
Joshua
night.
Brown murder, Lee Merrick. You're representing the family?
They've asked me to investigate what happened. Obviously, they're not going to trust law enforcement to look on in this independently, and so we're performing our own investigation through our office.
His testimony was crucial to convicting Amber Geiger?
It was. Amber Geiger's defense was that she was acting as a police officer for someone she believed to be a suspect. She gave him lawful commands that he refused to comply to. Brown said that he didn't hear any lawful commands. But he did say that he heard Botham John singing Drake and gospel music every morning from within his apartment, meaning you could hear what's going on in those apartments from the hallway. And since no one in the building ever heard her give lawful commands, it undermined a critical part of her teaching.
And he had moved from that space, from that apartment, as Attorney Darrell Washington said, a lot of people had, and was living in a different area. But this is just very curious. They have a description of an SUV shot multiple times, and also the location of the shots is still in question, Lee Merritt.
Yeah, so he was in a new apartment complex. He had, in fact, and this is the sort of the controversial part that we learned over the weekend, he had been shot back in November of 2018. He was in a club with some friends called Dallas Cabaret, and he was shot in his foot. Someone else was killed. A lot of people believe that he, including himself apparently, that he was the target of that shooting, and he was afraid that somebody might come back and try to finish the job.
Well, how will this affect the appeals? Or the appeal case for Amber Geiger, or your civil lawsuit. And so, by the way, you are doing a civil lawsuit, right?
That's right. We filed a civil lawsuit last year with state pending the outcome of the criminal trial. We will file a motion to lift the stay now. He would have been one of the first witnesses we called. Not only was he not only was his emotional testimony from the stand important, but he provided some of the facts and context. Part of what we need to establish is that Amber Geiger at least believes she was acting as a police officer, and he would have been able to establish that and give us some again undermine her defense that she tried in the criminal trial.
So how's that going to affect the that he's not going to be there to testify? How's that going to affect?
So in the criminal appeal trial, just let's say from the appellate standpoint, his testimony is already on record. It was subject to cross-examination. You can get it into any new trial. So that testimony is still admissible. It is not admissible in the civil trial. We will have to bring that evidence in to another witness.
And the law, you will be able to just take his testimony as a part of it for the record in the appeal.
In the appeal, but not in the civil trial.
Not in the civil, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of conspiracies about all of this. Are you hearing this as well? And can any of those conspiracies be founded, or are they kind of, you know, not legitimate at this time regarding the murder of Joshua Brown?
They have not been validated, the conspiracies that maybe law enforcement was involved. They haven't been validated by any evidence. They've been supported by the sheer proximity to the trial and the controversy of a lead witness being killed shortly thereafter. I think they should be taken seriously. I think they should be investigated by someone other than the Dallas Police Department. I think the city owes it to the people to restore trust, to bring in the FBI, even bring in the Dallas Sheriff's Department, because whether they like it or not, the Dallas Police Department is implicated in this case. Whether there's any evidence of it or not, they're implicated in it, and people are not going to rely on any conclusions they reach in their investigation.
It is it's just a sad tale that just continues, even beyond the legal aspect from the courtroom. Just a sad tale. And when you were quoted in the stories over the weekend, Lee Merritt, it was as if you were telling his story as well, because he was fearful, not just as a witness in the trial, but also just as a black man on the streets of the city of this country.
That's right. So we get it on all sides. We have to protect ourselves from the streets because our communities are subject to more violence than most communities because of the amount of drugs and guns and poverty in our communities. And then we have to protect ourselves from the state as well, because as this trial shows, we are subject to brutality and deadly force in numbers, some double, some triple, our white counterparts.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
Will you stay on the case as far as giving us some insight into this as we continue on, and appreciate it. And once again, prayers out to the family of Joshua Brown, and please continue to give our love and regards to the family of Botham John.
Thanks, Lee.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Okay. This was yesterday. This was before everything that happened went down. So, you know, take it for what it's worth, I guess. I don't know. I guess they don't have any drugs in Louisiana. They had to come all the way to Texas to get, you know, I don't know. I guess I'll be like you. We'll just have to see what happens together. Okay. So now, before we get into the reason why we're here tonight, be with me next week. Next Monday is another phony holiday. Next Monday is Columbus Day. And I'm sure you've seen the Columbus Day sales, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to talk about that phony holiday next week. You know, the thing that kills me is that we get the truth about, and I'm not going to give away the program for next week. We give the truth about Columbus, and yet we still have a holiday to this clown. This country is backwards. You know, I could understand before the truth came out about this knucklehead. And once you know the truth, we still keep on going and doing what we do. Instead of telling the kids the truth about him, we still had these corny ass sales. We still say he discovered America when he didn't. But we'll talk about that next week. This country is just, you know, all about the dollar. That's all it is. Okay. So let me get into this. These are the crimes from 2018. And I'm going to give you the total number. And then I'm going to break it down between black and white and give you the percentage. And then you tell me, or you think about it or whatever, and decide if we need a wall or not. But I think we may need a wall to keep us separated from them and not from Mexicans. Okay. Or people from Guatemala or El Salvador. Okay. Here we go. In 2018, total number of crimes committed were 7,710,900. Out of that number, 5,319,654 were white, 2,115,381 were black. Now, the total breakdown, 100%, and I'm not including American Indian, Alaska Native, Asian. I'm not counting anybody else. I'm just counting black and white, just to prove the point. So that was 100% out of all of these. But when you break down white and black, 69% were white, 27.4% are black out of that total number. Now we're going to go into the categories. All right. Murder and non-negligent manslaughter. 8,954 total. 3,953 white. 4,778 black. So that breaks down 44.1% white, 53.3% black. Get the ink pen so I don't lose my place. All right, rape. 18,776 total. 12,794 white. 5,376 black. Total 68.1 white, 28.6 black. Robbery. 66,789 total. 29,025 white. 36,187 black. So that breaks down 43.5% white, 54.2% black. So far, blacks lead in two categories. All right, so we're going to keep track. Okay. Aggravated assault, 298,040 total, 184,527 white, 100,393 black. Breaks down 61.9 white, 33.7 black. Burglary, 134,542 total, 91,581 white, 39,617 black, 68.1% white, 29.4% black. Larceny theft, 669,983 total, 448,193 white, 201,086 black. Breaks down to 66.9% white, 30% black. Motor vehicle theft, 69,002 is the total, 44,512 white, 22,305 black. Breaks down to 64.5% white, 32.3% black. Arson, 6,946 total, 4,938 white, 1,740 black. Breaks down to 71.1% white, 25.1% black. Violent crime. And there's a little asterisk here. Violent crimes are offenses of murder and non-negligent manslaughter, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault. Property crimes are offenses of burglary, larceny, theft, motor vehicle theft, and arson. So violent crime, 392,562 total, 230,299 white, 146,734 black, which breaks down to 58.7 white, 37.4 black. Property crime, 880,473 total, 589,224 white, 264,748 black. Breaks down 66.9 white, 30.1 black. Other assaults, 794,787 total, 512,025 white, 254,360 black. Breaks down to 64.4 white, 32% black. Forgery and counterfeiting, 37,724 total, 25,140 white, 11,637 black. Breaks down to 66.6% white, 30.8% black. Fraud, 89,610 total, 58,572 white, 28,387 black. Breaks down to 65.4 white, 31.7 black. Embezzlement, 11,174 total, 6,923 white, 3,955 black. Breaks down to 62% white, 35.4% black. Stolen property, buying, receiving, possessing, 69,874 total, 44,179 white, 23,661 black. Breaks down to 63.2% white, 33.9% black. Vandalism, 134,794 total, 91,176 white, 38,887 black. Breaks down to 67.6% white, 28.8% black. weapons, carrying, possessing 126,332 total, 68,756 white, 54,715 black. Breakdown, 54.4% white, 43.3% black. And with the weapons thing, well, we already know that the Second Amendment was not made for us. So, go figure. Prostitution and commercialized vice. 23,502 total. 12,928 white. 9,109 black. Total 55% white and 38.8% black. Sex offenses, except rape and prostitution, 35,157 total, 25,338 white, 8,403 black, breaks down to 72.1% white, 23.9% black. Drug abuse violations, 1,234,178 total. 871,295 white, 333,113 black, breaks down 70.6% white, 27% black. Now that's something that shocked me, because according to whoever, they want to make it seem like that black people are the ones doing drugs in this country. But these numbers say otherwise. Gambling, 2,465. Okay, yeah, that's the total. 1,000 white, 1,198 black, which breaks down to 40.6% white, 48.6% black. That's another one that blacks lead in. Okay. Offenses against the family and children. 64,357 total. 43,371 white. 18,530 black. Breaks down to 67.4% white. 28.8% black. Driving under the influence. 736,644 total, 597,919 white, 108,703 black, break down to 81.2% white, 14.8% black. Liquor laws, 128,453 total, 100,687 white, 18,743 black, breaks down to 78.4% white, 14.6% black. Drunkenness, 251,490 total, 193,042 white, 37,781 black, breaks down to 76.8% white, 15% black. Disorderly conduct, 248,716. Disorderly conduct, 248,716 total, 158,533 white, 78,192 black. Breaks down to 63.7% white, 31.4% black. Vagrancy, 18,048 total, 12,823 white, 4,458 black, 71% white, 24.7% black. Okay, almost to the end of the list on this one. all other offenses except traffic. 2,413,408 total. 1,666,825 white. 663,086 black, which breaks down to 69.1 whites, 27.5% black. Suspicion, whatever that means. 432, 237 white, 129 with black, breaks down to 54.9% white, 29.9% black. Curfew and loitering law violations, 16,720 total, 9,362 white, 6,852 black, which breaks down to 56% white, 41% black. Okay, so that's everything for adults, all the crimes for adults. I'm just going to read a few of these for people under 18. I'm not going to read all of them. So for people under 18, there was a total of 543,242, 336,027 were white, 189,596 were black, 61.9 white, 34.9 black. Murder and non-negligent manslaughter, 693, 280 white, 401 black, breaks down to 40.4 white and 57.9 black. Rape, 3,070, 2,117 white, 884 black, 69% white, 28.8% black. Robbery, 13,082, total white, 4,423, 8,398 black, so that breaks down to 33.8% white, 64.2% black. Aggravated assault, 20,943 total, 11,627 white, 8,607 black, breaks down to 55.5% white, 41.1% black. Burglary, 16,699. Total, 9,183 white, 7,029 black, breaks down to 55% white, 42.1% black. Larceny theft, 69,575. Total, 39,193 white, 28,031 black, breaks down to 56.3 white, 40.3 black. Motor vehicle theft, 11,089 total, 4,976 white, 5,780 black, breaks down to 44.9 white, 52.1 black. Arson, 1,338 total, 907 white, 384 black, breaks down to 67.8% white, 28.7% black. Violent crime, 37,788, 18,447 white, 18,290 black. That breaks that down to 48.8% for white and 48.4% black. That's the closest one on both lists. And the last one I'll read is property crime, 98,701 total, 54,259 white, 41,224 black, and that breaks down 55% white, 41.8% black. So, out of all these total, black people outnumbered white 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 categories. And all the rest of the categories, white people beat the brakes off of us. So, and it. So I'm gonna leave it at that. I just want to make sure I got these numbers out. So that is the third annual Crime in America, based on statistics from the FBI. So, so whenever you got clowns running around here talking about building a wall and all this other yang yang and all this other crap, they need to build a wall around themselves, because they're the ones out here committing all this crime. And like I said, if you don't believe those stats, just go to the FBI website, look for Table 43, and you can see what I just read. I didn't change any numbers. I didn't add, subtract, whatever to make anybody look any better. I'm just giving you what they got. Because I know it's easy for people in this country pretend that there ain't nothing going on. Everything is hunky-dory. You know, only people out there committing crime are the other people. Well, that is not the case. You know. And I hadn't had an argument in a while about a clown talking about, you know, black-on-black crime. Because every time something happens, it's the first thing out of somebody's mouth. Black-on-black crime. I'm sure there is black on black crime. So there's white on white crime, white on everybody else crime. So they don't get off. They don't, you know. Because I can keep talking about, you know, stories of stuff that they've done, but I ain't got all night. So, you know, let's just get off of that, you know. Because it happens every time. Because every time, and I guarantee you, every time you watch the news and something goes down, who did the crime? Trying to see who did it. You know. And there was a thing I had read about mass murderers. And I was gonna talk about that, but it'll take a while because. You know, what we consider mass murders, you know, there's a study, you know, that if there's a shooting and I think it's like four or more people get shot, they consider that to be a mass shooting. Let me see if I can, I'm not going to read all of it. Because there was something going around, and I think I might have posted it too. And it said that of the 154 mass shootings recorded in the United States in 2018, June, none of them were perpetrated by black men, undocumented immigrants, or women. And that got rated half true. But there's a way that they come up with that figure. And I was going to introduce that, but it will take too long. But if you get a chance, you can get online and read it. And just read what they're talking about. But it's interesting because a lot of times they consider a mass shooting four or more people. Let me make sure I get that right. Let's see. Okay, yeah, here we go. The Gun Violence Archive defines a mass shooting as an occurrence in which four or more people, not including the attacker, are shot in a single incident. And they charted 153 such shootings occurring between 1 January and 28 June 2018. And here's what they found. And I think there may be 102. In 102 of those cases, the archive identified no named suspect or the race, gender, and immigration status of the perpetrators who the perpetrators was unknown or unclear. At least 40 black males were suspected of direct involvement in mass shootings. 37 had been charged in relation to such incidents. One suspect was killed in a shootout not involving law enforcement, and two suspects killed themselves. At least 14 white males were suspected of direct involvement in mass shootings. 8 were charged, 4 killed themselves, and 2 were killed by police. At least 3 Hispanic males were suspected in direct involvement in mass shootings. 2 were charged, and 1 was killed by police. At least 2 Native American males were suspected in direct involvement in mass shootings, both of whom were charged. 1 male mass shooting suspect of Middle Eastern origins was killed by police. No women were referenced as having had direct involvement in mass shootings, although in one instance, a woman was charged as an accessory. So that's kind of where we are with that. But, you know, like I said, I do the show on crime just to prove a point that every black person out there is not out there committing crime. Every Hispanic person is not out there committing crime. Every white person is not out there committing crime. So you sit, you know, you get online or you get with your buddies or whatever, and then you start, you know, stereotyping people that you think out here doing all this stuff. I got the stats to say you're not, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. So before you start spouting off about stuff that you don't know what you're talking about, get the facts first. And those are the facts. I try to only deal in facts whenever I do this show. So those are the facts. So if you don't like what you heard, take it up with the FBI, because that's where I got that information from. So that's going to do it tonight. I'm going to close it up early. We'll be back next week, where I'm going to give you the truth on Columbus, which I think now a lot of places are calling it, and I can never say that word. I just say Native American. I just say Happy Native American Day. So that's what I'm going to say. Happy Native American Day early. Because I do live in a part of North Carolina where there are lots of Native American. I have lots of Native American people in my family. I have lots of Native American nieces and nephews and sister-in-laws and a brother-in-law and cousins and all that good stuff. And I'm a brother. So everybody's family is mixed up. And that's what I keep trying to tell people. Everybody in this country's family is mixed up. So if you think you're the whitest white man in the world, I guarantee you, if you go back to look at some of your people, you probably got black nieces and nephews. Hell, you know, there was a thing going on Facebook talking about, you know, shout out to all the racist KKK people out there with mixed grandkids. Yep, you got them. You got them. So there ain't no getting around that. You got them. So, you know, if you celebrate that pagan holiday of Christmas, you might as well get ready to go put them some stuff on layaway because it's coming. So we're going to talk about the phony holiday of Columbus Day. And the week after that, we'll be celebrating 4 years of the Aunt Canary experience. And like I always do, on my birthday and, you know, whenever I just feel like, you know, giving everybody a break from talking about depressing news, I am going to put together, instead of an hour and 30-minute mix, I'm going to put together a two-hour mix of old school and funk. I was going to do just funk. Then I said, no, I like old school too. So I'm going to mix them together. So I'm going to put together a mix of old school and funk, 2 hours, to celebrate the birthday and to tell everybody, you know, that listens to the show all the time and all the and people that have listened and still listen, thanks for listening. So it's kind of like a birthday present to you. So I've been doing this for 4 years, and this is a hard job. It's not really a job. It's a hobby, but it's a hard hobby because every week I have to think of something to talk about that's interesting, and that is not easy to do. But with everything going on in the world, it gives me topics, and I just have to pick one, research it, and then present it. So that's what we'll do. For the next couple of weeks, that's what we got. So join me if you can. If not, listen in the archives, and I will see you next week. I bid you adieu. Peace out.